My name's Frankie, and can you hear me all? Yeah? My name's Frankie. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm also a grateful member of Al-Anon. So it's not going so there. Huh? So I think I'm actually going to tell my AA story, although my Al-Anon story did start before my AA story. About 17 years ago, actually, I was at a counselor's office like most of us do, and I'd been out stalking my ex-boyfriends, and although if you have a paper pen and binoculars, it's surveillance, and if you have a key, it's not trespassing. And this counselor was quite concerned, and he actually introduced me to English Jane, if anybody knows Jane in the program. And she took me to my first Al-Anon meetings. And I did go for the 6 meetings that were suggested. But, you know, to tell you the truth, really, I could identify with all the feelings, but it's like, wow, you guys just need to lighten up and take a drink, man. And and I knew that I had a bigger problem. I knew that despite all the feelings, and I certainly qualified for Al-Anon at that time. I grew up, my father was an alcoholic. I just felt like a wolf in sheep's clothing. And that really wasn't any of the way I was treated. I was treated with love and compassion and understanding, but I just felt like I needed to get some things in order. And so my next counselor, I told her my sordid tale of my alcoholic father and all the men who didn't love me. And considering that I was married, and it's plural, not singular, you know, man, some of my men problems was my own making. And the first thing that a little bit like Jen had shared, is there a problem with alcohol possibly? And with me, though, not with all the people I was telling her about. And I said, well, you know, I do have a problem with alcohol, but I'm not an alcoholic, you know. And she said, well, how about for today, starting today, you know, maybe you don't drink anymore. And I thought, well, that was, you know, there's no problem there. That, in spite of that, you know, backing it up a little bit, I had met my husband today. That makes it sound like I have a husband different on every single day, but my husband now, and us alcoholics have to clarify that a little bit sometimes, because we often have more than one. I had met him, and I had been dating him, and he was in the program. And I have to be honest and give him credit. I asked him lots of questions about AA, but he would never really tell me anything about it other than give me the 20 questions. I'm not sure why he did that. And I have to be honest, I think I answered yes to all of them except for the ones around, did I crave alcohol? Did I was jealous of anybody else's drinking? And of course that was no, because I never ever tried to quit drinking. And I never had any cravings because I never ever tried to quit drinking, nor was I always surrounding myself with people who drank like me. That being said, you know, moving it, this isn't going to be all about that. What I'd really like to speak about is I did get into AA, and for me, the program can be divided into 4 things. The first 3 steps, 1, 2, and 3, can be surrender, and the 4, 5, 6, and 7 can be sharing. 8 and 9 can be restitution, and 10, 11, 12 can be guidance. And the surrender part, I really wasn't willing to surrender that I had a problem with alcohol. I certainly had a problem with living, as I was out stalking my ex-boyfriends. And I remember, you know, mixing alcohol and sleeping pills. And I remember thinking that it was a sign from God that I should actually go get in my van and stalk my ex-boyfriend. Otherwise, I'd be sleeping. And so away I went. And I'd like to say that my bottom was when I ran into the side of my garage. I would like to say the bottom was when I used to sit on my sister's couch and her 3-year-old son was dying of cancer. Oh, I'm not. Can you guys hear me? Or are you telling me I'm talking too loud? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. All right. I'd like to say it was when I used to sit on my sister's couch and complain about all the men who didn't love me while her son is in the throes of cancer and chemotherapy. Actually, really the end was when this counselor said maybe I should, you know, consider not drinking for today. And even though by then I was having withdrawal, except that's not what I knew what it was, I would, you know, that Advil commercial where there's the cute girl with the black hat and sunglasses in the morning after? That was not my hangovers. they would be epic days and days of retching. And I now know that to be withdrawal. I now know that my night terrors of attic guy that would spy on me through my lights was DTs. You know, all those things I came to learn in surrendering that maybe possibly I was an alcoholic. And, you know, for any of you who are new, you know, only you can decide for yourself. But I don't know, I'd rather be in the program of AA by mistake than out of the program by mistake. And I went on and I did all the things basically that we're told to do, which is to get a home group. That gives you accountability. Otherwise, you can continue to tell your little stories to a whole bunch of different people and never tell the truth. Get a sponsor. Have a sponsor who has a sponsor. Do the steps. As I said, divide them up just like that. Do what you're told to do. If there's anyone here that's really miserable and hurting, good. That was the only thing that ever motivated me to do what I was told. And I did what I was told. I actually thought most of the old guys in this program were stupid. And now I do the basic program of AA. That traditional way of doing AA, the basics of, you know, get a home group, get a sponsor, get a big book, and, oh, I don't know, read it. Talk to your, don't text your sponsor. That's just crap. It's like, that's not connecting to your sponsor that you count that as a meeting when you just text them. You have to actually have some face-to-face contact with them. And, you know, you have this saying that says, just keep coming back. I have another one that says, just don't leave. So with that, that's really hard to tell my wonderful film Hollywood life in 10 minutes, but I tried my best. Thank you for asking me to share.
Hey.
Well, have a good life today, by the way.
Oh. And you still had 3 minutes to go. Hey, what a life. Yeah. Okay, next up we have Aaron, I believe from Regina?
Melville,
sorry. Welcome, Aaron.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Aaron. It is by the grace of God that I am a member of the Al-Anon family groups and have this fellowship in my life. It is a privilege to be invited to speak tonight. This is my first time speaking, so I am a bit nervous, but I know I'm right where I'm supposed to be, and thanks to Shelley at the back for asking me. The three A's: awareness, acceptance, action. For me, I was aware as a teenager that I wanted balance and health in my life. What brought me to this program was realizing that my home life, relationships, day-to-day living, and most shockingly, my work life were unmanageable. I discovered that my thinking was sick and my suppressed feelings were leaking out. I'd been seeking approval and failing miserably. In reality, it was all about me trying to get my needs met. I lived in fear and I was very critical of others, but even worse with myself, all while keeping a smile on my face and showing you what I wanted you to see. Like an iceberg, I was only showing you 10% of myself. For 20 years, I thought the self-help world could help me change and heal myself. I'd be just fine. I was wrong. It got me somewhere, but not to peace, serenity, and sanity. Thankfully, it gave me direction on my journey to get to Al-Anon. I came to know that I qualified for this program not so much because I am affected by an alcoholic or alcoholics, but because I'm inflicted with this family disease. So how did I get here? Abuse, neglect, and addiction in my family run generations deep. We hear in our program that we are as sick as our secrets. In the AA Big Book, Chapter 9, The Family Afterword, it says, "Cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have. The key to life and happiness for others." I'm sharing tonight because I believe we should open up and share as it could help somebody. Admitting my secrets to people I trust, accepting my secrets, forgiving the people and situations I cannot change, and hearing you share your experience, strength, and hope have been the steps to my freedom. Although I didn't grow up in active alcoholism, I grew up with the insanity of this family disease. Speaking about this disease brings me so much relief because I now know where my insanity comes from. So what happened? My acceptance is rooted in facing the truth about my life. So you're going to hear some of my secrets now. Admitting that I wasn't born from love, I was born from an affair between two alcoholics, and that I was a secret to my father's family. Admitting I was sexually abused as a toddler by a family member. Admitting that my mom's seven-year relationship, abusive relationship, with a man she met in the program resulted in the growth of my disease. And after the relationship ended, admitting that my mom was a mess. So at age 11, I became an adult and parented myself. Admitting that I turned my anger at being powerless inward and acted out using promiscuity, self-harm, and food to comfort myself from the pain. Admitting that because we don't talk, trust, or feel in my family, my loss of innocence and painful life lessons were amplified. I felt hopelessly alone, repressing my feelings, suffering intense grief and shame. Some examples of this are not knowing what pimples were at age 9 and using needles on my face to try to fix them. Not knowing at what age to shave my legs and being teased about it by schoolmates. Not knowing where to turn when my anxiety became so great that I hid in my closet instead of attending high school. Admitting that my family vulnerability factors, being raised by a single mother, poverty, mental illness, abuse, transience, and identifying as a racial minority made life more difficult, and so I learned that life is hard. Admitting that my fear and feeling of unworthiness had me doing anything to belong. I'd become whomever people needed me to be. I'd take on people's likes and make their ideas my own. Being needed was better than being loved. I could take care of you and provide psychological therapy. I'd had years of practice since I'd become an adult at a very young age. Admitting that my relationship with God was compartmentalized, I asked God for help when I wanted something. And finally, after many years, admitting I lived to tell lies, I became a master manipulator. Sometimes I'd love to see what I could get people to do if they'd see me as a victim. And when that didn't work, I lived to fight it out and show you how powerful I could be and how I could outsmart people. I lived in constant competition with others because I didn't feel good enough. My bottom was realizing I wasn't getting the results or the life I wanted, and, of course, the unbearable weight of the unexamined pain and grief that kept building in me. I believe I have lived in a constant cycle of suppressed grief. Denial, anger, bargaining, and depression were constant revolving doors for me. I'd never get to acceptance with anything. To me, this disease is a feelings disease. My anger is really fear and pain that I haven't expressed and that leaks out. I just stuff away my anger, sadness, fear, and worry in my ever-growing baggage that dragged behind me. I was a diseased time bomb. Spiritually, I was dead. Emotionally, I was numb. Physically, I was sick. Mentally, I was tormentingly hypervigilant. So, what is it like now that I am in recovery? I've been in the program for 2.5 years. I have learned I need to face the truth and express my feelings. After years of isolation, I was willing to be honest, ask for help, and be vulnerable with others. In Hope for Today, page 245, it reads, "Self-care is my acceptance of God's love for me." My spiritual self awoke to this truth at the core of my soul a few months ago, and this truth has changed my life. Taking action. This is the key. It's in the doing, and I think we've heard that before many times. I take action by working the 12 steps, developing my personal relationship with God, sponsorship, 12-step problem solving, as my sponsor taught me. So talk to me about this afterwards, because it completely changed my life and is an instant remover of fear, anger, and resentment that still cause me the most grief today. Of course, attending meetings, listening to speaker recordings, and attending retreats and roundups have filled my life over the past 2 years. I have a new language. It's the language of the heart that you and I share. And you know that sick, romantic, unrealistic thinking that consumed me? God has completely surprised me with gleeful joy and changed my character defects into assets. Today, I am spiritually alive, emotionally healthy, physically loving and accepting of where I am at and where I want to be. Mentally, I am free. When I stumble, because of course I do, I remind myself to keep it simple and keep doing what has been working. With each day and with each choice to take action and use the tools of this program, I am becoming the person I've always wanted to be. The diseased me has turned into the faith-filled, completely loved and cared for, recovering me. Awareness and acceptance have freed me from giving power to the problem, the feelings disease that affects us and our families. Today I can take action when I hear God's will for me. For example, last month, God brought my mom and I together with two non-program family members at the Swift Current Roundup. For the first time, there wasn't any conflict. It was a healing and healthy weekend together. Another gift, which is pretty emotional, has been a recent connection with my half-brother. I've always identified as an only child, but I have a half-brother, and I am no longer a secret to him, and he and I are spending time getting to know each other. We are planning to meet each other for the first time in the new year, which I'm really excited about. And this is a dream come true for me. I've heard the message, God, dream big, Aaron Lee. And so I keep saying the third step prayer when I wake up in the morning and practicing step 11, God's will, not mine. I'm just along for the ride to be of service and to embrace all of the blessings. I've learned that my life no longer has to be hard. I expect the best. I am thankful for God, for the spiritual solution, for my mom's recovery, for my restoration to sanity, and my new healthy life. Thanks to you for carrying the message to me and being here when I need you. Sharing tonight has renewed my hope that families can stop spreading this disease and can recover. Hope has inspired me by music and thinking of a dear friend who celebrated 52 years of sobriety last month and died 2 weeks ago. Bob H. remembered this song from his childhood and said that this could be the theme song of our beloved program. And so I'm going to sing, which has been part of my spiritual solution. And this song is called If I Can Help Somebody. If I can help somebody as I travel along, if I can help somebody in a word or a song, if I can help somebody who's traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. What a blessing. An Al-Anon old-timer from Texas, who I've listened to as a speaker recording. Her name is Arbutus O. She's signed her letters, Vaya con Dios, meaning go with God. And I share this sentiment with you tonight. My thanks and love to each of you.
What a beautiful sharing. And if you wouldn't mind, we'll have the coffee house tomorrow night. There'll be an open mic there also. So we'd love to hear you sing some more. That was really good. So, yeah. So I kind of realized that I'm kind of Charlie and these are all my angels because I lined up four lovely female speakers. So we can have that weird kind of manipulative, weird fantasy. I don't know. Sorry. Yeah. I'll say. Oh, good. So, next up, we have another new speaker. Her name is Dominique. Please welcome her to the stand.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Dominique, and I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon and very happy to be here. He asked me to speak because he had no one else, so I'm here. I just found out about it 2 hours ago. I don't know what I'm going to say, so if you need to leave, please do. I'm not going to feel offended. But before I start, what always helps me is a serenity prayer, so please, could you all say it with me? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom. Thank you. You know, I joined the program only over a year ago, and the first thing that I noticed was, oh, that's a great place for me to vent. I'm just going to come here and throw all the garbage. I'm going to tell them how used and abused I've been in my family and with my boyfriend and whatever else was going on. But it wasn't like that. I was sharing my problems, and people were nodding their heads, and they were smiling. And I'm like, that's so disrespectful. I'm kind of pouring my problems out here, and you just smile like, come on, what the kind of group is that? But then, you know, after that, people started coming to me, and they said, you know, we're smiling and nodding because we've been there, you know? And I could not understand, what do you mean you've been there, but you remain so calm and so peaceful and you're smiling, you know, that's nothing easy to go through. And what I wanted to share tonight was, first of all, how I got here tonight, the literal act of getting here, because my phone was stolen on Monday and I cannot drive without GPS, although I've lived here for over 2 years. The other day I went to pick up my son from preschool. He's three, and his preschool is 5 minutes away from my house. I ended up on the way to landfill. I don't know how I got there. And I'm like, okay, that didn't work out very well. I will never drive without GPS again, but my phone got stolen. So I'm like, okay, how the heck am I going to get here tonight? So I phoned, one member phoned me. She said, just look it up on Google Maps, you will get there. So I looked it up and said, oh, that's Josie's. I go on circle, whichever way I turn, I will always get here anyway. But, you know, once I started driving, and there is the Idlewild and the circle drive, and I'm like, the map shows me to go Idlewild, but the drive tells me that you need to go that way. Like, what do I do? And, you know, I have huge issues with trust, even when it comes to my higher power still. But I said, fine, I'm just going to trust, and I know I will be led to get here. And I got here without GPS, and I didn't get lost, and I didn't get scared, and I got here safely. I don't know how I'm going to get home, but that doesn't matter right now. And, you know, I basically wanted to share the gift of the program. I don't want to speak much about me, but how miraculous this program has been for me, because over the past only 14 months, it has been transforming my life 180 degrees with everything. Relationship with myself, with people at work, with my family, with people I hated, people I resented, with the way I'm grieving the losses, even deaths. My dad was a very active alcoholic, and but I was my daddy's daughter, and they are back in Poland, and he died 2 months ago, just over 2 months ago, and I wasn't able to go, and I read a message from my brother saying, I've got bad news, you know, our dad just passed away. Read it, put the phone away. Fine, done with it. I knew that's what's going to happen. I went to sit by the river, and I thought that was it. I contemplated, I thought about him, you know, I thought I was done. Until last week, and it hit me hard, and I think for the first time in my life, I know what grieving is like, you know, how hard it can get, and in how much denial I've been living over so many losses in my life, how I was never able to grieve, I was never able to cry. Just pull yourself together, you know, just stand up, just face it, you just go through it. You just don't give a shit about how you feel, you know, you just pull yourself together. And I still have a lot of work to do, but I'm more able to set the boundaries with people that used to hurt me a lot, such as my mom, my brother. I can say right now, I won't let you speak to me this way, and I can hang up, you know. That's a huge advantage that they are in Poland and I've got Skype, right? So it's not like I need to leave, I just press the button, but nope, done. That's what I actually did this morning, you know. My mom just didn't want to follow my boundaries. I said, you know, whatever. I'm just going to look after myself, do my self-care, and just switch it off. So I switched it off. I went offline, and I had a beautiful day. But, you know, there's been so much going on this week as well. And tonight is about acceptance, awareness, and action. And, okay, I feel like there's the two of me. I sometimes say there's the old self and the me. But only this week I can see what that means. I feel like there's been a lot of going on with my ex-partner, with the father of my child, and we've been separated for 11 months right now, and something just happened last Friday, and I've been receiving a lot of verbal and emotional abuse, and he was the one who stole my phone, and he texted all of my friends or whatever. And you know, I'm in pain, and I'm hurting, and I've got this urge to just be this fucking revengeful bitch, you know, when I just, honestly, when I just pick up the phone, and then, you know, now I have to use my landline everywhere, and I'm saying, oh, he's not worth like 50 cents or whatever. So then I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna email him. I'm gonna email him so bad. But then I start typing, and I'm, you know, he's not even worth my fingers working on those keys here, you know, honestly. And there is this me, I'm gonna go there and punch him and kick him and be this hurtful person. And we're just gonna fight forever. We've done it before, you know. And there is this recovery girl here. Well, I'll be 34, but they still call myself a girl. And accept what is. What comes around goes around, you know. And I do believe that he has his higher power too, and it will come, you know. But there have been people in this program who have been with me throughout this process. And every single one of you guys, you have the miracle in your heart, you know. For the first time ever, I witnessed how the program works. What does it mean to reach out, to call your sponsor when it's needed, to help you, to be the support, but not get involved, to not get sickly attached, you know, to not just fix it, control it, but just to be there. And that's the miracle. The constant reminders, just concentrate on now. Keep it right now, right now, right now. One step at a time, one thing at a time. Just protect yourself, protect your child. So I've accepted what happened. I left this space. I was aware of what I have done, and I know I have some amends to make when I'm ready, but I'm not ready yet. I know the action of not phoning and not emailing and not raging, but action to taking care of myself, my safety, my baby's safety, my emotional safety, my baby's emotional safety. I've been taking actions to protect myself. The boundaries I cannot say verbally, because he's not going to respect them. I found the ways, and I'm putting them in paper, and they will have to be respected. And that's thanks to you guys, you know, and thanks to the program, which is a life-changing for me. And I'm only at the very beginning of the journey, but I just cannot express how much love and gratitude I hold in my heart for this program and for every single one of you here, because that's beautiful. And you know, we all work so very hard, and sometimes I still think we sponsor and we help, but we don't give, you know, ourselves the credit we deserve. And each of us is equally worthy, equally lovable, and equally loving. And I thank you very much for that and for being here for me and for one another. Thank you.
Wow. I'm kind of scared of her a little now, because when I called her up, she says, I'm going to kick your butt, you're dead. And after hearing the story, she wants to punch out, you know, everyone she's around. So, yeah, I'll have to take off. I'll leave quickly tonight. So, and next up, we have another great new speaker, Angel. And please just give her a big, warm welcome, guys.
Hello, my name is Angel. And like many of us in this room, I grew up in an alcoholic home. I often felt very alone and scared. I kept to myself and hid in my room when I knew my parents were coming home. Everything had to be perfectly cleaned, and all of us children had to be getting great grades so no one could figure out that there was a problem in our home. Now, later on in life, I looked for men who were like the alcoholic in my family, because I didn't know any better. I found myself dating guys who were alcoholics because I thought I could fix them. Little did I know I was hurting myself more and more every day. Because I was consistently around alcohol, I became an alcoholic and addict myself. Now, on May 2nd, 2016, I realized how bad alcoholism and drugs had affected my family and how unmanageable my life was when I lost the person who meant everything to me. That was my cousin. He was the person I told all my struggles to. He was my hope. And like me, he grew up in an alcoholic home, so he understood everything. We often talked about how we grew up and the struggles we both faced. When I lost him, I realized that I needed help and my life was extremely unmanageable. I walked into my first Al-Anon meeting 3 months ago. I felt scared and ashamed because I didn't think anyone could relate to me or that I could relate to anyone. But as I sat in the meeting and listened to people tell their stories, I realized I wasn't alone, and many people had the same or similar things happen in their life. I started talking to people and made bonds. I felt extremely safe, which actually scared me for a while because I never had that before, and I was very afraid of it. I got myself a sponsor, started getting in touch with my higher power, and started heading to meetings every Thursday and Saturday. I've grown a deep understanding for the alcoholic and for the disease of alcoholism. I'm no longer angry with the alcoholic. Today, my life has changed in the best way possible. I say the serenity prayer to myself at least 4 times a day. And today, I can actually love myself and accept myself for who I am, which is something I was never able to do growing up. I could never imagine my life would be where it is today. I didn't think it was possible to love myself or to have a life that I love living. I thought that I was going to constantly live in fear. I didn't think it was possible to feel safe or that it was okay to talk. I found that it is okay to be not okay sometimes. I found something that makes me feel safe, and every week I look forward to going to a meeting and seeing all of the amazing people I have made bonds with. I've enjoyed getting to know myself and seeing all of the amazing things that I am capable of. I've enjoyed getting in touch with my inner and spiritual self that I was so incapable of doing growing up. I enjoy the coffees after the meetings, and today I am living one day at a time, and I am grateful for Al-Anon and the new life it has given me. Keep coming back. Thank you. And I know I'm very early done, but that's all I have to say. Thank you.